Radio.
Radio you can touch.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Who the hell are you? I'd rather go down to the barber shop and ask a guy about ready to get his hair cut what the urgency's like.
Lord knows we need family now more than ever.
Jeff Lutz.
I just don't want to indulge you, and I'm the greatest thing in the world every time we're on the show. I'm not going to do that.
You're unbelievable. Judas.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
It's showtime, baby. You'll go wacko, but bananas, nuts, crazy, unbelievable.
Are you ready? Let's go!
All right, welcome back. It is hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, Max Power, Producing Engineering, 869-1240. That's the IHOP hotline. All-you-can-eat pancakes available at IHOP through the 15th of September as we have another month of summer here. All right, the Bob and Jeff draft's going to happen. We're going to pick eight franchises in the NFL each, and whoever has the accumulative best record from those eight teams at the end of the regular season. The end of the regular season wins, let's put $50 on this one.
Fine.
There you go. Put something on it.
$50. Yeah, whatever.
There, right.
Sure.
Flip the coin.
I'm getting ready to. What do you call?
I'll call tails. It is heads. What's your move going to be?
Yeah, I'm going to go second.
You're going to go second?
Yeah, I'm going to go second.
Well, that's just utterly ridiculous.
Well, I think that's the only move that you could possibly make right now. But if you pick the team that I want, then I'll be angry.
This is a good pick. I'll go first, and I will pick. Well, there's not a... There's... This is going to be hard. Let me look at this team's schedule, because to me, they're in a conference that can be attained. Jets, Vikings, Rams, Patriots, Cardinals.
Yeah, you got it.
I'll pick the 49ers.
I probably should have taken the first pick, but I didn't. I'm going to take the Houston Texans.
Oh, risky, right out of the chute.
And
right out of the chute,
and the Baltimore Ravens.
Really tough division.
Very tough, but I think they'll be on.
Very tough division. I'm taking the Chiefs because they'll go 6-0 in the AFC West.
They might, or they might not.
In my opinion, they're in maybe the easiest division. So I'll take the Kansas City Chiefs, and then secondly. It gets more difficult. I will take, as my next pick, the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay. I'm going to go with the Detroit Lions.
Some risk to that.
And I'll take a team that I think is in a bad division. And we'll be on a nice little upswing this year, and that is the Atlanta Falcons.
Tough. That's a tough one.
Why is that a tough one?
I don't trust their coach. I don't know. I don't have good luck with that one.
They'll go 11-6.
Good luck with that one. That's all I'm going to say. My next pick, and I'm looking right at the NFC North here. Because the Lions would be considered the favorites. Boy, there's, you don't know how much I want to pick. Yeah, boy, this is so hard. I better get back to the AFC. And in the AFC, I will pick the Buffalo Bills and... Back to the NFC. I like what you did with Atlanta, but I don't think that's the team that's going to make waves. I think it's going to be the Saints.
With who at quarterback?
Derek Carr.
Yeah, he's awful, but thank you. I very much appreciate you making that pick. That helps me a lot. I'll go with the winner of the AFC East, the Miami Dolphins.
Risky.
Not really. And I'll go into the NFC, too, and pick the Philadelphia Eagles.
That's a solid pick, especially late.
Good value in the sixth round.
I will pick. These are teams with two young quarterbacks in the same division that I think could be both be Jordan Love and the Packers. And then, man, look out.
You really want
Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears, because they're going to be really good.
Could be. Might be a year early for them. We'll see. You know what Duda would say? Oh, he's never done it. So he can't. He's not going to do it.
Why are you attacking Duda?
That's what Duda would say, and I don't like that.
You got your final two picks.
I'm going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Good. Some of these picks are better than the ones you had early.
Well, like I said, I'm getting a lot of late value here. My last pick. Picked all those teams already. I don't like any of these. I guess I'll go back to the AFC South. But for which 9-8 team? I'll go with the team with the slight...
Colts?
No, I'm going to go with the Jags.
Oh, you made a mistake.
It's the last pick.
Colts are going to be much better.
I'm not sure if Anthony Richardson
can stay
healthy.
He's going to be good.
He is, but can he stay healthy?
Yeah, that's why he's going to be good.
Well, then pick him.
I'm going to pick, with my final pick here, I'm going to look at I can't pick them, although Russell Wilson is not going to be the guy. Pittsburgh will be interesting because Justin Fields will be...
Terrible.
Will be better than they think.
I don't think so.
I do.
Throwing to one guy? I mean, please don't pick them. Please do.
I'm going to pick, for my last pick, I'm going to pick the Rams. That team has a lot of talent.
Young talent, but their quarterback is old.
I'm frankly surprised I was able to get them with the very final pick.
I'm not.
Tell us your team.
They seem like about the 16th best team in the league. My group of eight, we're going for best record overall.
They went to Detroit last year and had them on the ropes.
Well, is that a win or a loss, having somebody on the ropes?
That's a good football team. Who are your eight?
Well, we'll see if they're a good football team. Texans... Ravens.
So high for the Texans. I love them, too.
They're in a bad division.
I like them, too.
I don't like that division at all.
Let's look at the...
And you know they added Stephon Diggs and Joe Mixon, right, to an offense that, if I recall correctly, was pretty good.
Two guys on the downside. They could definitely help.
Well, when you already have Nico Collins and...
But it's not a given.
Damian Pierce.
Houston, their schedule... They open at Indianapolis. They have the Bears at home, at Minnesota, the Jags, Bills, at the Patriots, at the Packers.
7-0.
They have the Cowboys, Dolphins, Chiefs, Ravens. Okay.
10-1. All right, good.
10-1.
Yeah. Texans, Ravens, Lions, Falcons, Dolphins, Eagles, Bengals, Jags.
Mine, 49ers, Chiefs, Cowboys. Good grief. I'm already.
Yeah, and then...
I'm already at 40 wins.
And then you're like the Roadrunner, just falling
Bills,
off the
Saints,
cliff.
Saints, Packers, Bears, Rams.
Saints, Rams, yeesh.
The Saints Bears. Are going to be fine.
Well, one of the Packers or the Rams is, or the Bears is going to finish third.
Yeah, those teams in that division are all going to be right around 10 wins.
Maybe. Hard to say.
You watch.
Let's look at that Bears schedule.
Doesn't matter.
Matters to me.
Bears are going to be good.
They should be. They have a ton of
talent. Do we care what Max says about this?
Not really.
None of us picked the Patriots. He won't care.
It's going to play out for itself. It doesn't really need an evaluation. Bears have Titans, Texans, Colts. Man, what an easy schedule. Rams, Panthers, Jags, Commanders, Cardinals, Patriots. Good grief.
There it is, baby. There it is,
Packers,
baby.
Packers, Vikings, Lions, and then 49ers. Yeah, this is not a tough schedule at all. Their division's tough, but outside of that, no.
There it is, baby.
Maybe.
Don't you hate it when I outthink you?
You didn't outthink me.
Of course I did. I looked at the schedule.
No, you didn't.
Of course I did.
Who do they open with?
You just said it.
Exactly. So you should know.
Who was it?
You know.
I forgot.
It wasn't Houston. That was week
two. I
thought
it was the Colts.
Titans.
My money's on Jeff.
They'll win that game.
My money's on Jeff.
Max said his money's on you.
My money would be on Jeff.
Which is ridiculous. And weakest, you know why?
The weakest team he has is the Falcons. You know, you realize the Cowboys don't have Michael Parsons or CeeDee Lamb signed. You understand that, right?
Here's what Max
Max
heard.
Knows his football. Ask him any team's salary cap situation.
Here's what Max heard and immediately went to you.
Saints?
I picked the Chiefs.
No, he heard Saints.
Max, what are you going to do if the Chiefs win number three?
There's only one quarterback in the salary cap era that went to three straight Super Bowls, and he no longer plays.
He didn't win three.
What are
you going to do if Mahomes wins his third?
He won't.
Will you finally say on this show that Patrick Mahomes is a better quarterback?
You guys have already given him the trophy, for God's sakes.
Max, if he wins three in a row,
it won't
you
happen.
Need to say something respectful.
Yeah, well, I guess I won't have to worry. Yeah, I won't have to worry about that.
Okay, but say it's a deal right now.
Sure, it's a deal, but I won't have to worry.
There you go.
But listen.
Okay, maybe you won't.
If I was going to bet.
Maybe you will.
I'd take Jeff's list, man. Jeff's Houston strong. Oh, my God. The weakest team he has is the Falcons.
Mahomes got you, baby.
The weakest team is the Falcons on his list.
I got Mahomes. That's all I need. All right, turn your mic off. Max is so anti-Mahomes.
That's fine, but he did say if the Chiefs win this year, he'll say something.
You really think he'll do it?
He said it was a deal. So, yeah, I think he'll own up and be true to his word.
I'm like Twi Chang King.
I do
have my
that.
Word. Oh, by the way, Bob, I saw Don Rickles on an F Troop episode today. I thought of you.
Well, he was in all those 60s sitcom
shows. He played an Indian, Bald Eagle.
Yes, I've seen it a million times. He appeared on all those shows. All right, let's take a – well, no, we don't have – we're too early to take
who
a
we got next? Who are we talking with?
Dennis Dodd, CBSSports.com.
That's a tough one.
College football.
That's intimidating.
Why?
Well, you got to come with Dennis.
He's been on the Rome show.
Because he's a national guy. He's not going to put up with a lot of garbage. So I got to ask some good questions to Dennis. I got to be ready for that.
Well, that'll be the first good question you ask of any of our guests.
Really?
Will be the first.
They tell me good question a lot. You think they're just blowing smoke?
Well, they're surprised. You don't sound very intelligent. Now, that was funny.
Was it?
I thought so.
It's not going to placate your friend Don.
Don Rickles?
No, Don who texted you or whatever and said I was funnier.
I don't see how anyone could think that, but
I do.
He eats their own.
You know why? Because I've got two notes at least. You've still got one.
What do you mean by that?
You're a one-note comic.
What do you mean?
You're a one-note guy.
You just called me a comic.
Yeah, one-note guy. Kind of like the guy Kyle Mooney played on SNL. What was that?
Yeah, well, it's one of the best characters you've ever seen on Saturday Night Live.
He's a hack comedian.
Saturday, they reran the Nate Bargatze episode of Saturday Night Live. Fortunately, I record all those, so I was able to watch it. I watched that monologue three or four times. He's so funny.
I need to see his special, which he doesn't
have
out.
He's got a new one out?
No, that's what I'm saying. I need to see it. I didn't get to see his last tour, so I need to see what he did, his material.
When's the new one come out?
I don't know.
Why don't you find out?
I will. I mean
there's now a national group of people who wait for that.
Why don't you listen
he's
to
He's my
podcast.
Favorite comedian.
Really?
Yes.
Well, he's up there, I guess.
No, he's not up there. He is.
I'm talking about for me.
Who's yours? Todd Glass?
And Cedric, but Todd is, I just love him.
Has he ever hosted SNL?
No, and he never will.
Why? Because he's not good enough.
He taped a special. He's just not that guy. He's an alternative comedian. He's not going to be a mainstream guy ever. He taped a special in April.
Bargatze so, did?
Yeah, so this should be coming out, right?
Well, you would hope so.
In Phoenix.
I missed him when he was here. It's the worst
so
mistake
did I.
Of my life. You know who else I missed? I need somebody to text me.
I didn't miss him. I just didn't go.
You know who I miss?
No.
Alice Cooper.
Would you have gone to that?
Yes.
Interesting.
I saw him way, way back when he was crazy.
He's probably still a bit crazy.
I would have loved to have seen it, but I didn't even know about it.
Where did you see him? In Milwaukee?
No, of course not. So I'm here in Wichita.
Algonquin for the good land.
Ridiculous question.
Did you know Milwaukee is the only major American city
sells?
To elect three socialist mayors?
You know what this guy sells? This guy who thinks you're funny?
What?
Little Debbie cake.
Really?
Yes.
So he's got a stash of zebra cakes. I'm going to have to get to know this guy.
All right. We'll take a break. Back in a minute with Dennis Dodd, CBSSports.com. More college football talk here on the Bob and Jeff Show.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Dennis Dodd joins us. He's from CBSSports.com, one of their college football writers. Hello, Dennis. Welcome to our show.
Bob, how are you? I'm good.
Doing good, thank you. So I don't recall the last time we've gone into a college football season with this much intrigue, this much new stuff. It feels like we just bought a brand new car. How's it going to drive?
I think it's the most significant season maybe ever when you start with the expanded playoff, triple the field, which is to me is going to make the season extremely interesting, more interesting. You've got the SEC and Big Ten threatening to, well, they already have pulled away from everybody else in every metric you want to measure. You got Florida State trying to get out of the ACC. I don't think realignment's over. And then the Big 12's thing there, I love this story because they're like the island of 16 misfit toys, and that's their biggest strength. They have 16 teams that nobody wants in realignment. I mean that as a compliment. So whoever wins this league this year is going to do something probably they've never done before, which is play for a championship. So think about that. That's Kansas State, Utah, Arizona, whoever, Oklahoma State. They've never been at this level. So those teams are among a handful that I say the playoffs meeting them in the middle. Like, okay, if you do this again, Missouri's in there too. If you do this again, then you're going to be in the playoffs. So it just changes the whole dynamic, I think, the whole season.
Do you think the expansion of the playoff accounts for how much more difficult it will be to evaluate teams when they don't play the same schedules or even close to the same schedules? We see schedules in the Big 12 where some teams play all of the preseason top 25 teams and some of them play none of them. I mean, the committee and people in charge of these things, it seems like it's going to be nearly impossible to sift through all that.
Well, I think we saw that proven last year when the selection committee didn't think a 13-0 Power 5 champion was good enough to play for the national championship. And that, to me, sent a bunch of messages that suddenly the ACC had become, you know, the Missouri Valley or something. Those are legitimate teams that anybody, you know, had to get through to go 13-0. And I know they had injuries at the end. I get that. But that has never happened before. It actually had happened in 2004 with Auburn and the old BCS. And because that happened to an undefeated SEC champion, that got the wheel started towards the playoff. Mike Fly, the old commissioner, said that was never going to happen again. So here we are. But as far as the disparity of leagues, yeah. But I think we can cut to the chase and say because of the schedule strength, no surprise, the SEC and Big Ten are going to have the majority of the spots. In fact, we ran the numbers. If you'd gone back the last 10 years and put in the current 12-team formula, there would have been an average, combined average of 7.73 teams from those two leagues alone in any given year. One year, a couple of years, there were nine. So that leaves an average of what? 4.5 for the rest of college football for the other 100 teams? That should give you some idea of what this is going to look like.
Talking now with Dennis Dodd, a very seasoned college football writer for CBSSports.com. So you mentioned, and we all know, that the SEC and the Big Ten have made great inroads to become the two dominant football conferences in the country. No doubt they are. Can you give us a prediction on how many teams from those conferences will be in the 12-team playoff?
Oh, gosh. Well, you start with the Big Ten, Oregon, Ohio State. I think of Penn State. Penn State, by the way, third place in any of these leagues is probably the best place you can be. You don't have to play for a championship, so you're not putting your record out there and risking anything. For the first time, you don't have to win your conference to win a national championship. So if Penn State does what it always does, which is go 9-3, 10-2, it'll be in most years. SEC is going to be, what, Georgia, Texas, Alabama, and some fill-in after that. I've already mentioned six teams right there. So
Ole Miss.
Teams that are coming up, Ole Miss may win the league. I'm not saying they will. I think they've got a chance to. They've got all 22 starters back. They've got a friendly schedule. They've got what people say is the most talented Ole Miss team ever. So we've already mentioned 7 or 8 right there. So it's going to be fun as heck.
So obviously we're here in Kansas. We know that KU and K-State play on October 26th, which, you know, it seems a little bit early, especially this year. We like that game to maybe be at the end of the season. But how much weight do you think that game will carry as far as which one or two teams perhaps out of the Big 12 makes it to the Final 12?
Well, I think Utah's favored, and I think they'll win the league. That doesn't mean it's a slam dunk. I think it could be wide open this year. In the Big 12, if you get hot, you can be in. I also think that Utah could be in any league and win it because of the style they play. They're very, very physical. I think they could compete favorably in the Big 10 and the SEC, and in the Big 12, we'll find out about that. But I think you need to back up on KU and K-State and not fast forward to that game. I think they've got almost as good a chance as any. I talked about it up top. Talk about Utah, it's going to be Kansas State, Oklahoma State, in some form of that in the standings, it looks like, not certain. But I think what Kansas has done under Lance Leopold, the biggest thing is they locked him up for the long term. Kansas has a chance, I can't believe I'm saying this, a chance to be a power in the Big 12 because they've got stability. They've got that $400 million project going on, which is unprecedented, really almost in college sports, but certainly at KU in the Big 12. And they've got an offense that can win them 10 games. Don't know about the defense. It's certainly better than it was 2 years ago. They lose their offensive coordinator, Andy Kotelnicki, which was huge. But I think Jalen Daniel, I think Jalen Daniel was either he or Devin Neal were the preseason offensive player of the year. So they're going to put up a lot of points and can literally, I think, outscore people and get the 9 or 10 wins. Kansas State is ranked higher. I think Chris Klieman was the perfect replacement for Bill Snyder. He's running the program the same way he did. It's a developmental program. He makes starters out of three stars. He recruits well. They've got one of the best backfields in the country, if you include Avery Johnson as a runner, with Dylan Edwards as a transfer that Colorado's leading rusher last year. So they're going to be huge. I want to see this play out. I'm not looking at that one game. I'm looking at both of them competing for a Big 12 title and a playoff spot.
Talking college football with Dennis Dodd, the season, of course, just around the corner. So we talk a lot about, obviously, the Power Four and especially the Power Two, a 12-team playoff. Who's the team outside of that? And you can't have Notre Dame because I think that would be the obvious one. Who's the team outside of these conferences best equipped maybe to sneak in to the college football playoff?
I don't think it's sneak in because don't forget that the top five conference champions, ranked conference champions, get in automatically. So that would tell you that the best of the group of five is going to be in. And I think that team this year is Boise State. They just named their starting quarterback. He is not Malachi Nelson, the five-star transfer from USC. But they have a lot of talent coming back. They have Spencer Danielson, their defensive coordinator, who took over for Brian Harsin. And Boise State, frankly, is one of those group of four schools that fancies itself being able to compete with the big boys because of the tradition started there by Chris Peterson, more than 15 years ago. So I really like Boise State. They're committed. The money's there. They've recruited well. And I think they'll win the Mountain West and be that group of four representatives.
So I think it's probably pretty rare, even if the coaches we're talking about made jumps instead of lateral moves or backward moves. But for Washington and Michigan both to lose their coaches, they both lost their quarterbacks. How big of a step back is it for those programs, and how quickly could they potentially get back into the national championship conversation?
Yeah, I don't see Washington ranked very many places this year. I didn't have them ranked in the top 25. They think there'll be a significant drop-off going into a tougher league with tougher travel. Jed Fish coming over from Arizona to be their head coach. Michigan in a similar situation, but different. Sharon Moore comes into the season as both a rookie head coach and the winningest coach in college football. He was 4-0 as a Jim Harbaugh replacement last year with all those suspensions. And he may be suspended himself over the sign-stealing case, which is still open. But Michigan will drop off. They had 13 players drafted last year. That was a school record or Big Ten record, but one of those. Donovan Edwards is a preseason All-American by some people. He's a running back that's going to play in the NFL. They've got a quarterback, Alex Orji, who's like an old dual threat. He's a faster Jamel Holloway with a better arm, if that makes sense. That's a big pull from 40 years ago, but nonetheless, Jamel Holloway did win a national championship at Oklahoma in 85. So look for them, and their defense is one of the best in the country. They've got two or three All-Americans over there, led by Mason Graham, who's the latest inside defensive tackle, is going to be good. But they may not be they may be top four, but they're not going to – I don't think they're going to compete for the championship. Their schedule's too tough. Before they get out of September, they have to play Texas and USC. So that's going to be tough.
Final question for Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports. You mentioned realignment, Florida State wanting out of the ACC. How likely is that to happen? Where would they go? And how much more realignment is on the horizon, in your opinion?
Yeah, I don't I think they're going to get out. I don't know who's going to take them, if that makes sense, and I'm not sure it does. Because I think they have the wherewithal, which means the money to get out, but there's not a place for them to go. The Big Ten doesn't want them. The SEC doesn't want them. They're already in Florida. And they don't have a place to go. The Big 12 would take them, but I think there'd be riots in the streets if Florida State ended up playing at Iowa State in mid-November in the snow. That's not who they think they are. They think they're better than that. So, you know, I think it's going to be them getting out in the next year. That's a Rubik's Cube question. I just don't know where they end up. ESPN in February has the option of picking up the contract, the ACC contract, and either stopping it at 2027 or having it go to term at 2036. And there's some speculation that they might do that. If they do that, that would cause the end of the ACC. I think the schools would scatter to the four winds. The ACC might exist, but in a much deficient form. So that's one of the biggest questions of the season. Florida State fancies itself a Texas, an Oklahoma, a Michigan. But in terms of TV value, it really isn't. So that's the problem.
All right. Interesting stuff. We look forward to this season. We'll read your stuff at CBSSports.com. Dennis, thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Dennis Dodd. Boy, it's going to be interesting.
How'd I do? Good questions?
I didn't think he thought your questions were
quite
up to par. I thought your questions were about B level.
Not bad. I'll take that.
They weren't bad.
I don't remember yours.
Really?
No, not really.
Do you not listen when I'm asking my questions?
What did you ask? Something about realignment. I remember that. That's about it.
I asked some great questions.
I believe it.
And if you want to hear them again, you can go back on the Odyssey app, which lets you do all kinds of things. Get on that app. If you don't have that on your phone, the Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, is a great one to have. Phil Donahue passed away.
He did.
Sad.
Fellow December 21st birthday guy.
Watched his show often back in the day. Not sure how. Thought I worked, but I was home a lot in the late afternoons.
He did?
Yeah. I'd say I watched it once or twice a week.
Who's on the Mount Rushmore of daytime talk shows?
He is.
Oprah.
Oprah. Phil Donahue.
Jerry Springer.
Mm.
He's on it. I don't whether you enjoy the and Geraldo? Is that the four?
No, not Geraldo.
Jenny Jones, Ricky Lake.
Of course not. No, come on.
Montel Williams.
Ellen.
Probably. But she had a fall from grace.
Well, she did, but so everybody has a fall from grace.
Everybody?
I'm just waiting for mine.
Did Montel Williams have a fall from grace?
Yeah, he wasn't. Nobody. God, I don't know. I don't consider him to be at that level.
Maury?
So anyway, we're sad about Phil Donahue. I saw on ESPN where their guy, Bill Barnwell, just put out a story with the five teams most likely to improve in the NFL this year.
Yeah.
Only one was picked by us.
And that
one. Who would you guess they are? Don't look at the screen.
It looked like it was the Chicago Bears.
Don't look at the screen, please.
Was it?
No. Try to pick. His first choice. Was the Chargers.
I'll go Eagles.
No. I said only one was picked.
Right. I picked the Eagles.
His first choice was the Chargers.
Okay.
His second choice was the New England Patriots.
All right.
Believe it or not. His third choice was the Washington Commanders.
Makes sense.
Then the Arizona Cardinals.
Sure, they got Marvin Harrison.
The fifth team was picked by me. Most likely to improve.
Saints?
No.
Good, because they're not going to. Every other team you have has had a pretty good year. I guess the Rams?
No.
Then I don't care.
You don't want to keep guessing?
They improved from really good? I don't care about that. That doesn't interest me.
You don't want to keep guessing?
No, I don't.
Chiefs?
Doesn't interest me.
He made a good case.
Well, all of it has to do with turnover margin. That's all he ever really goes by. And the Chiefs didn't have a very good turnover margin. That's not something that's predictable from year to year. And then there you go.
So anyway, we'll see.
Max could be in trouble.
We'll see. I mean, I like the Chiefs. I don't dislike the Chiefs like I once did.
Why did you dislike the Chiefs?
I don't know. They were just that team. And when I was a St. Louis Rams fan or a St. Louis Cardinals fan, and
they didn't compete.
Everybody's just taking the Chiefs, and no, and not my cup of tea.
Were you a Dallas Texans guy back in the day?
Never. I was a St. Louis football Cardinals fan, even though they were rarely very good. They had a moment under Don Coryell.
Well, it's come full circle for you then.
Yeah, my Cardinals aren't very good.
They aren't very good.
And your Guardians are sinking like a boulder in the Cheney Lake.
Who cares? Jace DeLauter is getting called up to AAA. Doesn't matter. Nothing?
AAA doesn't do any
but
good.
Who
for
do you,
you
think's going to go from AAA to the bigs?
Don't care. You keep holding out this.
Just who do you think it's going to be? That's all I'm asking.
You keep holding out this hope that there's some kind of help in AAA.
There might be. I mean, it can't get worse,
right?
It makes
me laugh.
But can it get worse?
Can it get worse than Tyler Freeman? He's terrible.
Can it get worse than
Daniel
Schneeman
is awful. I told you that.
He started off good.
But you defended him, and I said he'll never last. There's guys at pitchers that so easily can be figured out. And Schneeman is one of those guys.
Yeah, so let's
throw him a fastball down and away, and you got him forever.
No, fastball up.
Down and away.
Can we get rid of him and Schneeman? Freeman and Schneeman just in one fell swoop?
Well, you got about three other guys to get rid of. Lane Thomas has been awful.
Yeah, what's with that?
Since you acquired him. He's probably feeling the heat.
And Jose Tena goes over to Washington, a guy I've always liked, and is 8-for-17.
Yeah, but they're playing under no pressure.
It's always pressure when you get caught up to the big league.
It's more difficult to play in the pressure of a pennant race. And especially when you're an acquisition that's meant to kind of help you get there.
Well, then help us get there.
Lane Thomas isn't maybe made for that.
You loser. Lame Thomas is what we've started calling
him. See, that's awful to treat your own players like that.
I don't call him that.
That's awful. You're an awful person.
I don't say that.
You just said it. You just called him a loser.
Elements of our fan base have begun. The whispers are getting louder.
Are you even invested anymore? You seem like
you've
detached.
I just get furiously angry every time they're down 1-0 in the second. But other than that, no, I'm not invested.
Well, feel the pain. Listen, good luck to you.
I appreciate it. I wish we'd try. But, you know, it's one thing when you just aren't winning. But it's another thing when your front office doesn't seem like it has your back.
Thanks to Max back in the studio. We'll be back here tomorrow. We'll talk, who knows what we'll talk about. Certainly we'll talk Shocker baseball with Brian Green and Iowa State football with Travis Hines from the Ames Tribune. See you then.